Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 373. And this episode, we are going to share Walt Disney's unique highway in the sky, the monorail.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome. Excited about this episode. We get to ride into history.
That's right. We've been working on this episode, and by we, I mean you.
Yeah.
For quite a while. We just finally got around to finishing it up and bringing it to you today.
Thank you for clarifying on who's working on what. Appreciate you.
I'm pretty sure people who listen to this podcast understand the dynamic of what each one of us brings to the table.
For sure.
You know?
Yes.
You bring the knowledge. I bring, I guess, whatever else is needed.
Sure.
At some point.
Yes.
This podcast is brought to you by us, by the way. Patreon. You can join us over there. Fun episode coming at you this weekend. For Patreon. We have an announcement too that we're going to be announcing in Patreon, so stay tuned for that. I'm going to give some shout outs for some Patreon members at the end of this episode, so remind me to do that, Constantina.
I'm going to remind you now because I'm pretty sure we forgot to do it last episode.
Yep, and I'm going to do it this week, I promise. I'm writing it down right now, and I'm not going to leave the notes away from my eyeballs while we record this whole show so I remember.
I appreciate you.
And Unlocking the Magic Travel. If you need some help from us to book a cruise, Disney cruise, Universal trip, whatever it is, we can help you with that. UnlockingTheMagicTravel.com. It doesn't cost you any money. A lot of people don't know how it really works. All we really do, and by we, I mean other people, not Connie and I, is...
No, wait, our incredible agents.
That's right.
That use our unlocking philosophy to give you guys the best, absolute best vacation that you can dream up. And it doesn't have to be just Walt Disney World. It can be Disneyland. It can be not Disney. It could be anywhere you're dreaming up to go to get away. But it's with that unlocking philosophy. And like Bruce said, it's not us, but we have this incredible team, this family that we have brought together that are able to help you book free of charge. Like he said, I think a lot of people don't know how travel agents work, especially for us. We do all the work for you and we're happy to do it. So support the team.
Yeah, see, exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about what each one of us bring to the table.
Okay.
You brought clarity and I just brought the fact that we needed to get that into the podcast.
Well, today's episode is about facts. We're going to talk about this monorail, how this historic attraction became, I believe, one of the most iconic modes of transportation in Disneyland and in Disney World. And we're going to list 10 interesting facts, 10-ish interesting facts that make it such a unique attraction.
More than the bus?
More than the bus.
It's more than the bus, right?
Ride the historic high-speed zero-emission transportation system that rockets along a single rail through the Disneyland Resort. Fly the highway in the sky. One-of-a-kind views on this classic 2.5-mile, 13-minute round-trip journey. You'll get to fly over Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, past the majestic Matterhorn bobsleds, glide over Grizzly Peak, Buena Vista Street, and Hollywood Land in Disney California Adventure Park. Then zoom through Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa and the Downtown Disney District. Now we're talking, have to go backwards to the OG attraction, which is the one in Disneyland, was the first transportation system kind of it in America.
What do you prefer? So the difference between the two parks is Disneyland's is kind of an attraction, right? It's a little bit of a transportation form.
A little bit.
If you're staying at the hotels.
Yes, and wasn't always that way, but yes.
And Disney World is solely transportation, if you're looking at it from that perspective. Like most people say, yeah, you can use it for an attraction or to do something. But for the most part, it's just to get you from one point to the other.
Most people that say that, you mean me. I say that a lot.
You do say that.
I say that a lot because I do think that they are both just a great way to kind of see the area. I love how the Walt Disney World one is free. I mean, you have to have a park ticket to go into the Disneyland one, which is the bummer. But the Walt Disney World one, you don't have to.
Right. So especially if you go like maybe the afternoon,
yeah,
it's definitely less crowded and it feels more like a ride than it does if you're going right when park open or closes. I would highly suggest you avoid going at that time if you're not going to the park, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be the best experience for you.
No. The Disneyland, like I said, monorail was the first transportation system of its kind, and the current version combines that sleek styling of the 1959 classic with new technologies and subtle design changes. I think it brings that retro futuristic look.
It still looks futuristic today. In 2022, yes. It still looks futuristic. Imagine what you would think of it if you could go back to 1959 and see the monorail then. Imagine how futuristic it looked back then.
Right, because it's still, like you said, still kind of is jaw-dropping futuristic now and retro. It just has every kind of, it has such a cool, sleek vibe.
Yeah, it still, right. It looks so futuristic even today. I mean, yeah. 1959, if I do the math correctly, it was like 70 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just so cutting edge for us now, can you imagine?
Yeah, people must have been, their jaws must have dropped when they saw that it was actually a working monorail system and like you could ride on it. It must have been like, wow, that's amazing. I am in the future.
Right? I am living the future now.
Yeah. Yes,
exactly. All right, fact number one. During the development of Disneyland, the monorail system was planned to be part of the opening of Tomorrowland. So they wanted it in that section of the park.
Which seems fitting.
Totally. Because it is very, like you said.
It would be out of place in Adventureland.
I would assume so. Unfortunately, Walt Disney and his team of Imagineers could not find a suitable version to make his dream a reality.
Well, that's interesting. That seems to be the case with a lot of what Walt Disney was thinking about doing.
Walt Disney was always looking into the future. He did have a hold and handle in the past because he was a very nostalgic person. He loved the slow times of yesteryear, but he also loved the idea of what the possibilities of the future would bring. So to me, this attraction really shows us what Walt Disney was all about. So again, he was always ahead of his time. So he had these ideas, but he could not necessarily implement them right away. So as you know, Disneyland opened in 1955, this monorail not being part of opening.
Imagine if he lived a few years longer. I mean, we think of, in 1959, his age, right, where he was in his 60s, seemed pretty old. Now, that seems really young.
It does.
You know, I mean, people live to be 80 and 90 relatively frequently now.
Right.
So imagine if he got 10 or 15 or 20 more years to live, what he could have came up with.
We would have probably already be living in Mars, I can tell you that, if Walt Disney was around, for sure. Okay, number two, Walt noticed a monorail train on a trip to Germany and immediately envisioned it as his transportation for the future. He knew he wanted one in his park. With the help of Alwig Company in Germany, this dream came to Disneyland on June 14th, 1959. It opened as part of the great 1959 expansion, along with the submarine voyage and the Matterhorn bobsleds.
All still pretty fun rides.
All still pretty fun rides and very cutting edge for what the time was.
Well, the bobsleds are kind of rough. I don't know if those are cutting edge. Those seem a little bit rough.
Well, enter in to make this dream a fruition. Also, Bob Gurr. Bob Gurr, those of you who don't know or are not familiar with him, he is now a Disney Imagineer. He's out in California. I don't know if it's Los Angeles or near Disneyland in California, if that's where he's living currently, but he does these tours all the time.
He is in his 90s. And if you follow him on Instagram, we'll link it up in the show notes. You should definitely go follow him on Instagram. My life goal is to be as energetic and
enthusiastic for life
as he is at his age. Like, he's still doing new things, trying out new perspectives and like sharing it all on social media at his age. After all he's completed in his life, and at the stage in his life in which he is, I want to be like that when I get older.
He is very much an inspiration to everybody. You can clearly tell he loves what he does for work. You could tell he's always loved what he's done. So it just, to me, extended his life because I feel like he's so happy in what he does. And it's a good lesson for all of us, I believe.
Can I ask the people who listen to this podcast something?
What's that? I mean, you're going to anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. Go over to his Instagram because I've asked to get him on the podcast before, but he's always been too busy.
Yeah.
Go over to his Instagram and on his latest post, everybody tag us and say, please go on Unlocking the Magic podcast.
Yeah, give us a shout out for him.
Go over to his latest post, leave a comment, tag us, and give him a little nudge to join us on the podcast.
He's a busy guy.
I know, he's got a lot going on. But you know what? Maybe we can do a 15 or 20 minute podcast. Doesn't have to be long.
10 minutes. I don't know. I feel like I'd be maybe a little too nervous anyway. So 10 minutes, I would be so happy.
Help us out there. Help us help us get Bob Gurr on the podcast.
He did a post, speaking of Instagram, you might see. He did a post recently with a really famous, I forget her name, but it's a real famous TikTok TikToker. And he's with her. And it's just funny because it's just younger and older generations coming together, which to me is awesome because maybe people are knowing her more than him. And then they can discover who he really is and give him the credit that he really needs and deserves that. Exactly what I always talk about, like introducing the younger generation to all these folks. So Bob Gurr was first hired by WED Enterprises, WED being Walt Elias Disney Enterprises, now known as Walt Disney Imagineering.
Right. He worked on the monorail. He worked on Autopia. And speaking of Autopia, did you ever go back and watch the YouTube videos of opening day Disneyland?
Yes.
The Autopia vehicles were not on tracks.
I know. That is the coolest thing ever.
They were just like miniature cars on a roadway in Disneyland. And they showed, and Bob Gurr was talking about this in an interview, that that's kind of why they eventually put tracks in, because it was a hot mess. There was these kids who were driving these cars, and Bob made them just like regular cars. They weren't, you know, they were like miniature cars, but no kid knew how to drive cars. So he would say, like, they would spin out and they would hit the guardrail and they would like cause these six car pileups on the Autopia track that the people would, like, the cast members would have to go over and straighten them all up. And he's like, it was just such a disaster. That's why there's tracks on the road now.
Well, you know, lesson learned. You got to kind of do things to kind of figure out whether they're working or not. I just wish that we got the opportunity to ride something like that. That would have been fun. Can you imagine our kids on the track?
No, with no tracks, that's unbelievable. Speaking of Bob, let's go. Let's listen to him kind of describe how Walt came up with the idea for the monorail.
Walt always had the idea that he wanted a monorail in Disneyland, right from the original sketches to Disneyland that Herb Ryman did. One day he was in Germany and he saw a monorail train that he'd never seen before. Walt gave a task to everybody at Disneyland. In the case of the monorails, he figured that since I'd designed the Viewliner train 2 years before, it was logical that I would design the monorail for 1959. And we simply started drawing that monorail in October of 1958. And by June 14th of 1959, we were giving the Vice President of the United States a ride on it. While we rehearsed the ribbon cutting.
Say this. I can't even hang a picture on my wall. And Bob Gurr is creating Autopia. He's creating the monorail. He's building all of this from scratch. And like he's designing it. He's just basically a mechanic who designs all of these things and then creates them out of nowhere. And I can't even hang a picture on the wall.
He's doing some great things. Let me tell you. And they worked fast back then. So the project began in 1958, and the building process originally started in Los Angeles, but later moved to Disney's Burbank Studios to speed up the process. It was still not quite fast enough for Walt Disney. That's so funny to me.
Well, when you think about how long Tron's taken to be built, when Disneyland was built in a year.
Exactly. That's what's, I mean, I know there's a lot of red tape that has to happen nowadays that probably didn't have to happen.
Well, yeah, because the Autopia cars were crashing into each other. There was no safety precautions whatsoever back then.
There was nothing. No airbags. I'm just kidding.
No.
Nothing. All right, number three, the attraction's original title was the Disneyland Alweg Monorail System.
Wow, that's not a catchy name at all.
Alweg being an abbreviation for Axel Lennart Wenner Gren, the founder of Alweg. Imagineer and Disney legend Bob Gurr, best known again for designing those vehicles, many vehicles. And he had just worked together to design these trains. Then it was also given a nickname, which many of you know now as the Highway in the Sky, which is super appropriate.
Who named it the Highway in the Sky? Do we know that?
I didn't actually feel like I really know that. I don't know how it just became a catchy thing, maybe between Bob Gurr. I'm not sure, but that's a catchy name for sure.
Highway in the Sky is so appropriate, especially is the most iconic thing, seeing the monorail go by the entrance of the Magic Kingdom in Disney World, kind of either if you're waiting for the monorail or you're hopping across on one of the boats from the Polynesian or the ferry boat, is it just the most amazing thing you're ever going to see?
I think it's the most amazing thing. You want to reach up and touch it. It just feels like you've made it there to Walt Disney World. And in Disneyland, the original attraction still has that feel, although it's a little smaller, of course. It still has that really fun, unique element of the future that I think I just can't get enough of.
It's every time I see the monorail go by, I stop and look at the monorail like I've never seen it go by before.
Yes. What is that?
I don't know, but it's like, there goes the monorail. And I think to myself, I've seen the monorail go by 4 million times. Why do I stop and look at it like I've never seen it before?
Every time, no matter where we are, no matter which park, whether in Epcot, Magic Kingdom, or in Disneyland, whenever the monorail goes by, we're in awe. And it's so funny that you said that because I review our Instagram every once in a while and I'm realizing, wow, we have a lot of video of the monorail.
It's like Tonga Toast and monorail.
That's it. That's unlocking the magic, I guess.
How many reels can we make and put them on social media about those two things?
Here's another clip of Bob Gurr discussing the monorail.
When I was asked to design the first monorail in America, I was tickled pink to design something that was going to look really, really super cool, not knowing that this would become an American Disneyland classic train design.
It's true. It is such a classic design. I'm curious as to why there are not more of them all over.
I do think they're a little bit pricey. I remember when they were trying to decide on the gondolas and the doing that in the Magic Kingdom Resort and the Walt Disney World Resort, rather. I remember that it was sort of like either that or extend the monorail. And I believe extending the monorail is pretty pricey.
You know what, though? I have to say, I do think the gondolas are pretty cool.
They are. They add a different, unique element, for sure.
I was very much anti-gondola in the beginning because I was afraid of it being high up and being stuck. But after going on them, I think they're pretty good.
The gondolas have that same, I think, element where you look at it, although they're newer. So even though we've been to Disney a bunch of times, it still seems so new to us to see the gondolas. They still are pretty unique and cool to see.
Definitely.
Okay, number four, December of 1986, the monorail was honored as a historical mechanical engineering landmark by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers.
Well, that's pretty epic.
An official plaque was erected at the Tomorrowland station and states, quote, "The cars are equipped with 600 volt DC, 100 HP electric motor driving rubber-tired wheels on a single-beam trackway," end quote. That's a lot.
That is a lot to say. You say that five times fast.
You can see the plaque when you're in Disneyland today. That's pretty cool.
So these are all electric, too. That's another thing that was way ahead of their time, is making these an all-electric vehicle.
Number five, when the monorail first opened, Tomorrowland Station was the only open arrival and departure point. Did you know that?
I did not, but I do now. And that would be such a bottleneck.
Well, it goes with the theme of Tomorrowland. So if I were to imagine what...
Because you're getting on the monorail tomorrow because the line's so long?
Yeah, maybe. But like, if you think about how we feel when we're in the Tomorrowland and Walt Disney World and we are in the Magic Kingdom and we're boarding, I would say, when we're in Tomorrowland and we're boarding the People Mover and you see it kind of go around, that's kind of what I envision what they must have felt like for this to be going around in Tomorrowland, Disneyland.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, not surprised, but I'm thinking about the monorail. You know how it goes through Epcot? Like, if you go take the monorail to Epcot, you kind of go into Epcot, and then it loops around and brings you to the entrance where you enter.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why they didn't do that. I know expense is obviously a factor, but into Tomorrowland. Wouldn't that be cool?
What do you mean? Like
if the monorail, like, you leave the Magic Kingdom, and it just kind of loops you through Tomorrowland and the Magic Kingdom before it goes into the Contemporary.
Kind of like you get a sneak peek when you're in Epcot.
Or you get to say one last goodbye.
Aww.
Like you're leaving, you're going back to your resort on the monorail or back to the transfer station, and you get to just see one last glance of Tomorrowland before you go home. Kind of like before you get into Epcot, you get to kind of see Epcot. And you think you're there, and you're like, wait, where are we going?
Yeah.
This is Epcot. Let me get out.
What's happening? Yeah, that would have been amazing for sure. Maybe someday. Who knows? Well, guests would travel in Disneyland round trip around Tomorrowland, soaring by Autopia tracks and the Submarine Lagoon in just under a mile's distance loop. These electronically propelled trains were almost silent as they passed by so they would not distract guests as they wandered through Tomorrowland. That's pretty interesting.
That was, you know what, I'm going to be honest with you. I was typing something. Can you repeat that?
Okay. All right, quick facts. The monorail was in Tomorrowland and Disneyland, did a short little loop-de-loop in Tomorrowland that was just under a mile, and it was quiet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was perfect.
Would you rather it be quiet or make some noise? I feel like I would want to hear a little something.
No, no? I would love it to be quiet. It's more futuristic if it's quiet.
That's true. It's kind of like, has that smooth, all I can say is it's really satisfying. It's like a really satisfying sound the way it glides.
Yeah, I like the fact that you can't hear an engine pumping out. Like, yeah, you like to hear an engine in a car, but you don't want to hear it on a futuristic train.
That's true. Good point. All right, number six, back to Bob Gurr one last time. He accidentally kidnapped the president of the United States on the monorail.
When you say this, you're writing this in the show notes, and I'm thinking of National Treasure.
Yes.
When Benjamin Gates kidnapped, they have a whole plan where he kidnaps the president of the United States to see if there's really a book of secrets.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to kidnap the president of the
United States. You're going to what? How do you expect me to take that?
I knew you were going to read it like that. That's why
I totally read it like that because I'm thinking of when he meets the president, and this is in National Treasure, he has the map of George Washington's secret passageway.
Great movie, by the way.
And the president looks at Benjamin Gates and he's like, we should go check it out. And he's like, and then
Nicholas Cage is like, are you describing this whole movie now?
Yeah, he's just like, I know. He's like, you're going to go check. I know you could go, but can I come with you? That's like literally every time someone says they're going to Disney, that's what I say to them.
Well, we have one last clip of Bob Gurr accidentally kidnapping the president for you guys.
Here we go.
Yeah.
While we rehearsed the ribbon cutting ceremony dedicating the new monorail, and in doing so, that Richard Nixon, his wife, the children, Walt, and some Secret Service people came up to the platform. Walt introduced everybody all the way around and said, let's give Nixon a ride. So I drove off without saying anything to anybody. When we came back over the sub platform, Nixon could see that all the Secret Service guys were still on the platform, which meant none of them were on the train, which meant I had just kidnapped the Vice President of the United States.
Well, he wasn't the president, so he's fine.
Vice president.
Yeah, that's not it. The vice president's not that important.
Okay.
Still. He's fine. But I wonder if he got in trouble for that, though.
I would imagine the Secret Service was probably not too happy. I wonder if some of the Secret Service team actually lost their job that day.
Yeah, that's a big no-no.
Yeah.
I could picture them being like, Bob, the train stops, and he realizes the Secret Service people didn't get on the train. He pulls the old, hey, what's that over there?
Yeah.
And he just like runs away so they can't stop him.
Funny. Number seven, Walt Disney owned the Disneyland monorail personally.
This is interesting to me. I found this fact. This is the one fact that I found.
I thought you found two facts.
Well, this is one of them.
Okay.
But this is interesting to me. Walter backwards. It was called Retlaw Enterprises.
Okay.
Which is, Walt loved his name, didn't he?
Oh my gosh, it's Walter backwards.
Everything that he did was his name backwards or like initials or something like that.
That's so funny. Well, maybe that was just a nod to him as well. I don't know, but that's funny.
But I didn't think he had a great relationship with his father.
True.
Well, maybe he was looking for like to impress his dad. His dad was a hard, like worked him hard and wanted him to be successful, I guess.
Yeah.
The Disney monorail Retlaw paid fees to Disneyland for the attraction rights right of way and employed those that worked at the attraction. That's great. So if you worked on the monorail, you didn't work for Disneyland. You worked for Retlaw. You're like, hey, where do you work? I work for Retlaw Enterprises. And they're like, what's that? It's Disneyland.
That's hilarious.
I know what that Disneyland is.
Yeah. Wow. Fun times.
Walt had also owned the Viewliner and the horse-drawn streetcars on Main Street, USA. All of these assets were sold to the Walt Disney Productions in 1982. So he just got to pick. He got his own apartment. He got his own monorail. He's like, you know what? I created all this stuff. I'm not giving it to you.
Yeah. If anything fails, I'm just going to hang out here.
If anything fails, I'm going to take my monorail and I'm going home.
I'm leaving. I'm going to put it on my property.
Right?
I'm sure Lillian would mind.
This is another interesting fact. It only goes, and this kind of reminds me of Space Mountain. It only goes 40 miles an hour, top speed.
Supposed to introduce it as number eight.
Number eight.
Okay.
Rewind. It only goes 40 miles per hour.
That's it. That's Although the
when
maximum.
When you're dangling above the swamps in Disneyland, heading between Magic Kingdom and Epcot, it feels like it goes a little faster than that.
That one, for sure, when I'm standing and I'm looking down, it's pretty high off the ground, and I do get a little weak in the knees.
That's probably the only one that gets to top speed. I don't think we've ever gone top speed around the loop.
Maybe not. I don't think so.
You know, it's I feel like 40 miles an hour around the loop would feel like 80 because it's a constant turn.
Yeah, it's a constant turn.
Imagine heading into the Contemporary Resort at 40 miles an hour.
Zooming on in, right?
Zooming on in at a whopping 40 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's pretty fast, I got to tell you.
Number nine, did you know this? There are actually three backup diesel-powered trains on property reserved for if there is a power outage, because these are electric vehicles.
So this is at Walt Disney World.
Correct.
Okay.
In Walt Disneyland, you just left to walk back.
You're just like, see ya.
Yeah, there's no power. What are you going to do? Yeah. Get out of here.
Go ahead.
But in Walt Disney World, there's three backups, and they're diesel-powered, just in case the power goes out or there's an emergency, because, you know, there's a lot of tropical happenings in Walt Disney World sometimes, and they need to be able to be prepared to get people back out of the resort, because it's not... Until recently, you couldn't walk back to the Floridian or the Polynesian. You could only walk to the Contemporary.
Oh, that's true.
So how are you going to get back to your resort if there's no power? Going across that lake in the dark would be scary.
Yeah, I wouldn't love it.
I wouldn't love that either.
All right. Well, that's a good fact.
That's a fact that I didn't know.
Okay. Well, I'm impressed. All right. Number nine. Now we're on number 10 already?
Number 10.
Wow.
One through four took us 20 minutes.
So we're speeding along here.
We're speeding up a little bit.
We're cranking up the diesel.
That's right. We're going a whopping 40 miles an hour for the last seven.
Number 10. And so we've talked a lot about Walt Disney World monorails, but those trains were also installed thanks to Walt's vision of a monorail system in Epcot, his experimental prototype community of tomorrow. At Walt Disney World, it's more than just an attraction. It's, like we said earlier, it's a transportation mode to transport guests between resorts and parks. And the monorail trains carry an average, are you ready, Bruce, of how many people are on these trains sometimes?
Oh, I know how many. There's a lot, because when I go on them, there's quite a bit of people.
Monorail trains carry an average of 16 million passengers annually at the Walt Disney World Resort.
And 14 million of them are between the hours of 8 and 10 a.m. and 9 and 11 p.m.
Ride high in the sky.
Highway in the sky, baby.
This, a Walt Disney World, like I said, it's more of a transportation, but one of my favorites is the fact that it stops at the Contemporary, Grand Floridian, Polynesian, even if you're not going to the park, if you somehow can park for the day at one of those resorts, you can go and you can see some of the Magic Kingdom park. Although I like Bruce's idea. I wish you got to see some of Tomorrowland a little bit more, but maybe someday, who knows?
You can kind of see it. You can see it in the distance as you're heading towards the Contemporary. The one resort on the loop that doesn't showcase the monorail quite enough, in my opinion, is the Polynesian.
Yeah.
You can't see it that well. Right. I don't necessarily like the fact that you have to go to the second floor to get on it.
Yeah.
Like through the lobby of the second floor to get on it.
Right.
So it doesn't really showcase it that much, but the Contemporary is amazing. And the Grand Floridian is pretty cool.
Well, it was made for that style, right? It's made for the Contemporary. So obviously the Contemporary is literally built around it, and it's the highlight of it. I mean, I remember as a kid driving through the Contemporary thinking that I literally lived in the future. I was wowed. I'm still wowed, actually. It's just really cool to be able to go through a building like that. I don't care how old you are. It's still so fun.
Yeah. It reminded you kind of like of the Jetsons when you were a kid, right?
That's a great point. I was obsessed with the Jetsons. I don't know about you, but I loved it. And you're so right. It's like it's like when you're on Spaceship Earth and you're drawing up your future.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're flying, you can choose like transportation, and you're like either a jetpack or you have those Jetsons cars that go in the sky.
I was reading recently an article somewhere that the Jetsons, it's either George Jetson's birthday now in 2022 or like that's when the series was taking place.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting.
I love how we hopped around this episode so much, giving facts about random stuff.
Listen, we're going through the system. It reminded us that the monorail and the Contemporary, even today, are very futuristic to me. Although the Contemporary is not as futuristic as the monorail looks in today's terms. But back when it was originally designed, I'm sure it was great.
See, I think it's still very futuristic looking.
I don't.
Oh. Okay.
The monorail, yes. The Contemporary, it doesn't look futuristic. It looks cool, but not futuristic.
Oh, I don't agree.
Okay.
We're disagreeing here. I have to ask the kids. Whatever the kids say, and then they get And then I get two votes.
Yes, we'll have to have them hop in here and do a would. Well, there's five people, so obviously somebody's going to be the tiebreaker.
My vote counts as two.
Well, then it'll be six, and it'll be even.
Okay. Oh, darn. Never mind. My vote counts as three.
Do you prefer?
Yes.
We're going to Disney World, right? Mm-hmm. Is the monorail your form of transportation that you would enjoy the most taking to the Magic Kingdom?
Actually, no. I actually use the monorail for Walt Disney World as a leisurely ride. I prefer, believe it or not, saving that experience for like something to do that's not like a free.
So, because you want to enjoy the monorail and not look at it as a way, like you, if you take it to the Magic Kingdom, you're looking forward to getting to the Magic Kingdom and you're not really enjoying the moment on the monorail.
Correct. I think that that's the one thing that Disneyland does. Although you can travel in Disneyland now, you can still just use it as, and it's acceptable to just use it as your ride of an attraction to ride while you're in the park. But for Walt Disney World, I sort of use the same philosophy I've always had, and I just prefer to use it that way. In fact, I'm hoping that they were doing this dining event thing that you could do where you could dine around the sky and visit all the resorts and eat. But I think you could do that on your own. You don't necessarily need.
Yeah, I bring snacks on the monorail all the time. I do that every time I ride the monorail. I have a drink and a snack.
You can hopefully valet.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, maybe not so much. Oh. But I guess now it's a little harder to go to the resorts, especially the ones close to the Magic Kingdom, to park. Usually now either have to really have a, it has to be a day where it's not crowded because obviously they have to cater to guests. Or valet parking, which is the next thing, which doesn't necessarily make the monorail free if you do that.
No, it doesn't. And but I would much rather get a reservation somewhere and eat and then use that as a way to hop on the monorail versus just paying to valet my car and then going on the monorail.
Yeah, I don't think we've... Right, you're right.
I'd much rather eat. Eating's much better.
Eat, just justify it by grabbing, spending more money and eating.
That's true.
Perfect.
All right, thank you so much. I have to give some shout-outs to some Patreon folks here before we end the show. But Connie Stallum... while I find everybody's name over on Patreon. If you want to join us on Patreon, the shout-out portion of Patreon is sold out, but there is still availability for just $5 a month. You can support us and hang out with us inside of our Facebook group and get some extra podcast episodes, and it would really help us support the podcast and make all of these shows possible for you.
Yeah, so one quick thing I want to mention is if you are a Walt Disney World regular and you visit the monorail, I want you to know, just like in the castle in Disneyland, how you probably have heard it's much smaller than the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World, the monorail is also much smaller in Disneyland, not just the track-wise, but the size-wise. Bruce definitely is a tall guy. Not exactly totally, I don't want to say you're not comfortable in the attraction in Disneyland, but it's not anything like Walt Disney World.
That's true. All right, here we go.
Hot tip.
Hot tip there. Thank you so much for the support over on Patreon. Alyssa, Bettina, Chris, Emily, Christina, Logan, Peggy, Robert, and Roman. We very much appreciate you hanging out with us and supporting the podcast. Very, very much appreciated. I can't say it enough how much we appreciate the friends on Patreon.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Please share your comments, like and share all of our shows if you can with friends, and we hope you like it.
Yeah, we also don't forget to subscribe to our other podcast, UTM TV, where we talk about a little bit more outside the genre of Disney, a little bit of Universal, a little bit of TV and film, some pop culture, you know, whatever else that we find interesting that we want to share with you and talk about. That's where we do all of that. This one will maintain the Disney focus for the foreseeable future.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
We'll see you next time.